I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome into another episode of the podcast, Janos. I'm Jordan Hall, and I'm joined, as always, by a man who knows a thing or two about royalty. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, how are you feeling tonight?
Feeling, you know, privileged and royal. Kingly, princely. Did you know that the name Eric means kingly or princely, now that you bring it up?
I didn't know that.
You do now.
It's the purpose of the show, to inform the masses.
Yeah, feeling very princely.
Yeah. So how everything good in the land of Eric this week?
I just got done playing some disc golf tonight. Played Johnson Park, and played pretty well. I was under par. You know, the weather's good. Feels good to be alive.
Yeah, it's that first bit of spring. We're actually supposed to hit 70 here in Traverse City tomorrow. Ooh. I never would have guessed that, like, ever. And I'm really curious. We have, you know how at Walmart they'll all plow the snow into one ginormous pile?
We have
a bunch of those still lying around. So I'm really curious to see if those hang on until the 1st of May. Like, they're still big and they're still, you know, pretty icy, but that's some serious heat coming in.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And the parking lot is dark colored. It heats up. Yeah, it goes pretty quick when it starts getting warm.
Were you the one that was telling me that people will occasionally, like, go to those piles? Have we already had this discussion?
Yeah, I brought it up. Are you going to go pile scavenging?
I mean, I'll wait till after work. I don't know that that's going to pay my salary, but yeah, sure. I'll jump on in.
Yeah, find one diamond ring, and it'll make it all worth it.
That's true. I'm sure everyone who goes out hunting finds themselves a diamond ring.
Well, you think of those sand scavengers with their metal detectors. Those guys aren't finding anything.
So anyways, I bring up the fact that you have some Dutch royalty in your blood, obviously, because there was a new royal baby in England this week. Are you big into, like, the royal family and whatnot?
Oh, not really. I mean, I kind of half pay attention, but no, not really. Does this baby have a name yet?
He does. I don't know. The whole thing.
You don't know what it is?
I don't know what his name is. This whole thing is, like, based on the naming of the royal baby. I don't know exactly what
it is. The first one is named George, right?
Yeah, they always have these, like, stuffy old British names, like Charles or Harry. Although I like the name Harry and William. It's like, I don't know. I find the concept of royalty, like, really interesting. Because these people have literally nothing else distinguishing about them. And they're, like, scrutinized and admired, like, absolute crazy. You know, I it's kind of the same thing with, like, actors and models, but at least those type of people have, you know, discernible talent, or they're good looking or whatever. Like, the royals' claim to fame is literally
their bloodline,
and, like, that's it. Anyway, so the naming of the baby is a big deal. I read somewhere that the bookies were actually giving odds on what they were going to name the baby in the lead up to her giving birth, which obviously brings us to this week's lead off question. If you were put in charge of naming the royal baby, what would you call it?
Maybe I'd go the Cecil route and just name him Prince.
Oh, so it'd be Prince. That's solid.
So good, you name it twice, right? That's fine. Prince.
So I wanted to freshen. I'm assuming that's your answer. We're moving on.
Yeah, I have nothing better. James King, Prince Jay. Oh, that seems like a British name.
Now, would that be James, or would that be the Spanish James?
Like Simone, Simone, and Martin, Martine. Yeah. We talked about this last time.
Yeah. So I want to freshen things up a little bit. Something that's not Elizabethan. Something really zazzy, if you know what I mean. And I was actually looking this up. The royals, they don't have last names. It's just a bunch of like first and middle names. Like they literally don't have a last name. It's just Prince Harry, blah, 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 blah.
Isn't it Windsor?
That may in fact be true.
I don't know.
I don't know. Is it? Like, I mean, if
the house, isn't it like the house of whatever Tudor Windsor or whatever it is? I think it's Windsor, isn't it? Or maybe that's not their last name. I don't know.
Now you're making crap up. Anyway. So, I would obviously go, I think the best choice would be, Prince DeBrickashaw as the first name.
DeBrickashaw.
And obviously they name it after important, you know, the middle names after important people in their life. For us, it would probably be Donald,
right.
In honor of Donald Kelly, and then Jonathan in honor of Jonathan Kane. So that's what Prince DeBrickashaw, Donald, Jonathan.
Every year, I think it's Deadspin or one of these kind of tabloidy websites releases their name of the year tournament. And every year I love it. I love it. My favorite, I think the winner last year was Kobe Buffalo Meat. Thought that was it's like a real college football player.
I'm guessing he plays for like North Dakota State or something like that.
I think he did.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4. Eric is at Comeric Eric. Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And we'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. I did not check for this week if we had any new reviews, so I will check that for next week. If you like the show, if you listen, even if you are neutral towards the show, get on iTunes, search for us, just leave us a review. It helps us, and write something funny in your review, and we'll take a look and we'll read that out, and everyone will be super happy.
Yeah.
Well, it was another up and down week in the Tigers' quest to reach that elusive 500 mark. We came into the week, you know, road trip going to Pittsburgh and Baltimore, and I think we were all kind of like, you know what, we could build on the week before that was halfway decent. But it's kind of been the custom that we've alternated, you know, bad week, good week, bad week, good week, and we were due a bad week, and we pretty well had a bad week.
That's the existence that we have with this team. We're just going to kind of stumble along, and sometimes we'll find little reasons for joy and success, and sometimes it's just not so much good. And
that is how baseball works, especially for, you know, we had, obviously the last 2 years haven't been great, but before that we had a lot of success. Now we're finally, you know, learning the true reality of how the other half lives.
But after sweeping Baltimore last time, we did do that, didn't we? I felt like to try to get 2 out of 3 from Baltimore would have been nice, but
yeah. So we now sit at 11-15, but still somehow
second place
in the division. A mere three games out. The division is terrible. Even the Indians aren't good anymore.
They're by far the cream of the crap. But I didn't anticipate the Twins being this bad.
Yeah, I kind of thought the Twins were going to be
awful,
borderline playoff bound again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we just need to buy at the deadline. We could make up 3 games.
Stop it.
So a big part of the reason that this past week has been so rough, some iffy starting pitching. Obviously, we can look past Boyd, his first real dud of the year. But the bigger story was two guys who, at this point, I say we have to levy some serious concern going their way. The first, of course, is Daniel Norris, pulled today after 2 1/3 with groin tightness. And I have to say, I was listening to this game on the radio when I was running, and Dan and Jim were going on and on about his groin stiffness and how many people were thinking about Daniel Norris's groin. And I got it was one of those, like, you don't hear it. You just don't hear it, but they didn't hear it.
Yeah, you know, it's very medical. This is very, you know, it's all about the anatomy, right? It's, Yeah, that's all it is.
I just hope that his groin isn't stiff for more than 4 hours, because that's when I hear it becomes a real problem.
Stop it. But yes, he has some groin stiffness or tightness. And every time they say groin tightness, I'm like, you think it means like tightness or like tight? You know, like, oh, that's tight. His groin is feeling pretty tight.
So Evan Woodbury, our good buddy, tweeted after the game that Norris said that his groin's been bothering him for a while and he can't overlook it any longer. And I believe this is a direct quote. You don't lose 7 miles per hour off your fastball out of nowhere. We're going to get it figured out.
Who said that?
He just had it in quotations, so I'm assuming it was neither Norris or Bazio or Gardenhire. Right. I mean, those are your three options. Are you concerned at all that he was hiding a recurring issue, even dating back to last year?
Yeah, there's something with his makeup. Like it was 2 springs ago where he hurt himself working out, like getting himself ready,
yeah,
and he kind of tried to hide
jumps,
it,
right?
That's the word on the street, allegedly, in quotation marks.
I don't know that it actually matters one way or the other, but yeah, go on.
Anyway, he kind of hurt himself, and I guess he tried to kind of hide that. I mean, stop it with the hiding. You need to be kind of in good shape. All these bulldogs in a season like this, come on. Yeah, if you're in a playoff game, bulldog the heck out of your body and try to power through. This is the beginning of a season that is, I don't want to say doesn't matter, but we're looking towards the future. So get yourself right, get yourself healthy, and then try to log a few innings of success. That's what we want. We don't want scuffling and stumbling and powering through and, oh, I tried hard. No, get yourself healthy and dominate for a stretch of, 3-4 games. That's really what we need, if you can do that. Daniel Norris is 25 years old. And he's shown flashes of brilliance, but he hasn't shown sustained quality, sustained excellence at really any time. Mm-mm. I mean, do really hot 25-year-old prospects lack a history of showing flashes or showing some measure of sustained goodness? I mean, I don't want to dog too much on Daniel Norris, but maybe it's time to dog on him a little bit. Like, show us something.
Yeah, I think that there's been, you know, it's well documented that the majority of his problems are between the ears. And I think the hiding the injury plays into that. Like, he's clearly to a point where he thinks that he can't afford to miss any more time
Which is clearly untrue.
Yes, I mean...
This team is going to have all the patience in the world with him. I mean, they traded big assets to get him. They think the world of him. They're not going to forget about him and stop thinking he's a good baseball player and kick him to the curb. That time isn't here yet. I mean, he's got to do the things to get himself right.
Yeah, I go back and forth on him because it feels like a kind of a tough guy act, but he doesn't necessarily have any, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to hide it, push it down. Just shove it down. I'll be fine. But I don't know. He's never put himself out there as said tough guy. Like, he's in great shape. He's got the beard, but I feel like that's more of his persona.
I think it's more, it's more pride than I think. I think he has pride in what he's trying to do and wants to do it right, more than like macho tough guy act. I think it's just, he wants to perform and do his thing, but it's not helping.
Are you a little relieved that there's something medically wrong with him? Like, I know that sounds terrible, but for there to not, like you said, like whoever said this, that he didn't just lose 7 miles an hour off his fastball. Like,
right. Exactly. Yeah. And giving him a little bit of break is fine. I mean, we don't really have a spot for him right now.
Right. I mean,
just get right. It's not, he's a nice, valuable piece to have, but it's not going to make or break our season to not have him around, even for a month, two months.
And when you watch him pitch, the thing that always strikes me is how wildly inconsistent his mechanics are, even from batter to batter. It's like it just comes and goes. And I don't necessarily even think he has that extreme of a delivery. He's just, nothing with his delivery is repeatable. And I feel
he seems to me twitchy. Yeah, he seems twitchy.
I'd agree with that. But if the groin has been a problem for 18 months at this point, I don't know exactly when it started last year, like, that makes sense. It makes sense that he's having a harder time repeating his delivery if he is nursing something, if he's trying to alter the way he does something to alleviate stress on the groin region. I mean, the groin is it's a very important part of your body when you're pitching. Like, your power as a pitcher comes from the opening of your hips and the driving forward, which is something that's going to be really compromised if you have groin stiffness.
Yeah. You want to make sure you alleviate stress in your groin region. I think you nailed it.
So
sure.
if he's healthy, which at this point, I mean, a DL stint seems almost inevitable. But if he is healthy, where do we go from here? Like, he can't be fighting himself out, fighting himself every time out on a major league mound. Like, that's going to just kill his confidence. And he's already pressing so bad to begin with.
I think you need to somehow carve out a spot in the starting rotation for him and say, Daniel, this is your starting spot. You are going to get the ball every 5 days. I don't care if you give up 10 runs. I don't care if you throw. No, this is your spot until the end of the year, the next 3 months, every 5 days, you're going to pitch in this spot. And then we are not going to talk to you about any results until the off season.
But can he,
to me,
can he
that's
handle that,
the right
though?
Approach. I don't care. If you get dinged, if he gets bombed and bombed and bombed and bombed, guess what? You're going to get the ball again. What is this Tigers team going to, what's going to happen if they do something like that? Nothing. It's not going to make or break. It's not going to change things. Daniel, we got to figure out what you are. We're going to figure out if you're going to succeed. You're going to take the ball every 5 days for 2 months or whatever. And that's it. And don't talk to me again. Throw the freaking baseball and be done with it and see what you have.
Yeah, I do hope that that is the approach when he comes back. I mean, I don't.
He's been jerked around.
Yeah, I don't see any way that he avoids the DL, at least not for a while. No, I mean, you have to get him right before you run him back out there. Go ahead.
Speaking of pitchers that have been scuffling, I'm wondering your take on one. Speaking of names, your namesake, Jordan Zimmermann. Now, if you would have told me 3 years ago, Liriano and Mike Fiers and a host of other pitchers are going to be vastly superior to Jordan Zimmermann, I would have said, you're full of bunk. But that seems to be the case. Jordan Zimmermann has not been very good.
So he's made 5 starts so far this year. The one, he lasted 2/3 of an inning when he got whacked in the head with a comebacker. So essentially,
yeah, that doesn't count.
Essentially 4 starts. He's completed 6 innings once. His ERA is pushing 8. He has 0 quality starts. I haven't seen anything from him that makes me think this is a phase. This is something he's going to recover from. I think it's kind of what it reminds me of is the Anibal situation. Like with Anibal, we used injuries as an excuse for him for a very long time. We thought when Anibal's back, when he's right, he's going to be back to being Anibal. And he never was. Like his poor performance was just that he was done. Like he is just declining skill set.
There was some talk about this when we signed him with his Tommy John surgery and stuff. That was a big concern. We talked about it, I think, on the podcast. Even we've been around almost that long.
Nobody's going to check in. I'm sure we did.
You know, there was concerns about how long is this guy going to hold up? The thing is, he looks older than he actually is. I think he looks like an old man just around the face. But I don't know about Zimmer. It's a little bit of a sad story because we have so much invested in him.
Yeah.
Do you think this is a sunk cost situation and you just, it might be this off season or beginning middle of next season where you just cut the guy? Is it that bad?
I think it's going to be an Anibal situation. Over the last 3 years, Anibal gave us a handful of halfway decent outings. There was a couple false dawns where you thought, okay, maybe it's coming back, and it just never does. I don't know. Like I agree. I do think that it's going to reach a point where the prudent baseball move will be to just let him go. Whether we do that or not, I don't know. But I do think we will reach that point.
But the results haven't been around for a while now. Oh,
I mean, essentially since the very first month he was signed with us. After
he was so good.
Amazing start. Month. He, you know, I was at the neck or the back, and he literally hasn't been right since.
Oh, yeah, we haven't talked about that. He got that shot, and that's supposed to last him till the All-Star break or whatever.
Yeah.
How does that all work? Oh, man.
I don't know. Science. But as bad as he's been, can you imagine him without the shots? The one thing that I'm curious about is, what about a change of role? How do you think he would handle coming out of the bullpen? Be your
You're
going to
have a
guy?
$24 million bullpen piece?
I mean, it's not great, but is that any better than a terrible $24 million starting piece? I mean, or any worse?
That's giving up, and that's sending him a strong signal that, oh, not only do we think you're washed up, that we're cementing that with by changing your role. That's not a good look. I mean, you have to be pretty sure.
And you need to have a viable replacement, which at the moment, with Norris on the DL, certainly. I mean, it's not going to happen anytime soon. It probably would be early next year at the very earliest, you know, if he continues to struggle at this pace. Do you see anything that could change the fact that, or, you know, could alter him taking the ball every fifth day when healthy?
What do you mean? Like, do I think you could get hurt or something like that?
No, other than, like, is there a circumstance that you could see that would prevent him from?
Yeah, I mean, he'd have to just pitch poorly for a month and a half. I mean, it would take seven bad starts before they even thought about pulling the plug, yeah. Wouldn't it?
That would be my assumption, too. But like we said with Norris, this season is about experimenting, is about figuring things out. So I guess I don't see that. I do have a little bit of an annoyance, I guess I would say, with the hindsighters. You know, hindsight was 2020. Like, he was really good for that first month. Like, there were some signs that a decline could be, but there's signs with every starting pitcher over the age of 30 that, you know, decline could be coming.
Zimmerman seemed like the reasonable signing because there was, if I recall, was it David Price was in that free agent class, or there was a couple others who are bigger who went for more money, and we were contending. Yeah, we were on the cusp, and we're like, oh, yeah, this is the sensible piece, Jordan Zimmerman.
Yeah.
Well, in retrospect, that looks like a super expensive, burdensome contract. But at the time, it was like the fourth or fifth highest contract on our team.
Yeah. What we need to do is find another Ian Kinsler to trade him for.
Oh, that'd be an interesting thought.
What about Ian Kinsler?
Jacoby Ellsbury.
Yeah, there you go. So let's
isn't he the big contract guy that somebody that people are always trying to get rid of?
Yeah, the
Ellsbury.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. So some recent performances. Figure we could kind of go rapid fire through these. Too good, too bad. Let's start with Mickey. 447 over the last 2 weeks, top 12 in RBIs and OPS in all of baseball over that span. I don't know. Like, I get emotional when it comes to Mickey, but I guess because he's been around for all my formative years. Like, there's still something special about seeing Mickey do Mickey things. Like, I know we're not very good, and I know that he's kind of a fraction of his old self, but it's still good to watch the big fella do stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, he has a track record of being a good hitter, right? Yes. He seems a little fragile, but if his body is sound, he knows how to hit. He's amazing, right? He's freaking Miguel Cabrera. And so, yeah, when you see it, it's pretty amazing. And even in a rebuilding team, just have that anchor you can put at third in your lineup and just let him do his thing is always nice.
And I feel like you know, he's doing, you know, showing excellence in stretches now more than seasons. Like, he was putting together multiple seasons of being awesome. Now it's a couple of weeks where he's, you know, hot as can be. And I think that almost makes it a little bit more enjoyable just because you remember, oh, yeah, 2 weeks ago he was whiffing at every, you know, slider down and away, and now he's locked in.
And he used to do that for an entire season, and now you get 2 or 3 week chunks.
Yeah, which is... That is a symbol of our franchise at this point. Concerned at all about the bicep injury?
it seems like every other week he's got something. Yeah. So no, I'm not too concerned about it.
Let's move on to another player who is many fire emojis in that right now, and that's Jose Iglesias. I don't know if you remember this, but there was a time when he was hitting like 069, something like that.
Oh, that's right. We talked about that. Not nice.
The opposite of nice.
He's bumped it up to a strong 221. You had a lot of work to do to get to 221.
Yeah, over, let's see, I was looking since the 14th of April. 319 with four extra base hits, including a triple. You knew some positive regression was coming. I feel like that's just kind of what this is. He is a 250 hitter, and he's, if things are balancing out towards being that 250 hitter. But I want to more talk about the defense with him. This is purely anecdotal. This just is from my observations. It feels like he's playing a more sound shortstop this year, a more, less fantastic plays. Obviously, still some, trademark Iglesias plays, but a lot more routine plays that he, not that he ever had problems with routine plays. He seems steadier. That's where I'm going with this.
Well, phenomenal fancy plays are a byproduct of circumstance a little bit. I feel like he hasn't had the chance to have, it's not every day you get a chance to make a phenomenal play.
That's true.
But yeah, I would agree with you. Yeah, he's been very steady.
Let's move over to the struggling side of some performances this past week. Dixon Machado, he was a guy that we both got really excited about for a while. He was leading the league in doubles at one point, but now he's down to 212 on the season. Was that a hot streak and negative regression, or are these numbers, just the 212, kind of just right for him?
No, I think he's better than a 212 hitter for sure, but he's probably not as hot as we saw during that hot streak. I don't know. It's funny because I think he's a better hitter than Iglesias.
Yeah.
Well, who do you think's a better hitter? Clutch situation. Who do you want up, Dixon or Jose?
I guess Dixon. I mean, we're probably just calling it a game if that's the clutch situation.
No, but I'm serious. Who would you rather have?
Probably Dixon. Dixon has better bat to ball skills, I would say. But I don't know.
I think Dixon has more power, more gap power. I don't know. Iggy is relatively hard to strike out, isn't he?
I guess, but he never walks. I mean, it's true. It's kind of a give and take. Dixon doesn't walk a lot, but he'll take a walk far more. I mean, pretty much everyone takes a walk before Iggy.
Iggy has 16 strikeouts on the year. Dixon only has 12. So I don't know. Given the two, I'm still taking Dixon.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah. Lugo, Dewal Lugo, the prize jewel of the JD Martinez trade, hitting 277 with five doubles down at Toledo. He's essentially who Dixon is fighting off for a spot right now. He has 15 strikeouts on the year and one walk. So I think Dixon probably is sleeping okay at night at this point.
Yeah, Dixon's fine.
Yeah.
He paid his dues. He hung around the bench. It's his spot.
Yeah. So Jacoby, the renaissance, we are now through 2 weeks of it. This past week didn't go so swimmingly as the week before. Eight strikeouts to only one walk. But still, three doubles. He is playing... I mean, he plays hard. Like, there's an intensity.
He's had some hard hit balls, too.
Yeah.
I mean, some of his outs have been solid contact.
Are you still as jazzed about his new plate approach as we were last week when we recorded?
Nah, I mean, like anything, the excitement wears off as soon as it fades. But no, I'm still excited about Jacoby Jones. He's made you forget about Mikey Mattuck, hasn't he? I mean, that's his
Mikey
spot
is,
now.
Mikey is always in my heart, but... Yes, on a more day-to-day basis, he has. The thing with,
like you said, he plays hard and he's a good piece.
The thing with Jacoby that I've appreciated, it seems like recently, there more often than not, he's getting himself into good hitters counts. And that's something that in previous years, I feel like I remember telling you on this show last year, it seems like every time he should be taking, he's swinging, and every time he's swinging, he should be taking, where that is just not the case anymore. And I really do appreciate the fact, I mean, Rod talks about it ad nauseum, about how much work he's put in with Lloyd. And I do appreciate somebody who you can see the base level that they were at as far as the mental aspect of the game, and it was very low. And now he's higher. Like, he has done work to improve himself from a mental aspect in the game. And that's something that I, you know, that's cool. That's a good thing.
Yep. Good job, Jacoby.
Okay. So one more. This is just for fun. I don't know if you guys have noticed, because the internet doesn't like to talk about him. Blaine Hardy, he is having himself a little bit of a run here. He has now started 4 games down in Toledo. 2 earned runs. I pulled up some stats. I ran the stats. Did, you know, punch the numbers. 21 innings pitched over those 4 starts. 25 strikeouts. Our boy Blaine. He's got a 0.74 ERA on the season, a 0.62 WHIP, and yielding a 1.36 batting average against.
He would be with the Tigers if it were not for timing, because he just pitched yesterday and they called up Chad Bell again.
But the thing is Chad Bell's on the 40 man and Blaine's not. I mean, they would have to, to add Blaine. It's almost like keeping Chad Bell on the 40 man and DFAing Blaine in spring training was a terrible idea that everyone saw coming.
Yeah. We get worked up about it because we were passionate about him, but it doesn't make too much difference. No. I mean, right? This is like the 30 whatever best player in our organization.
Yeah, probably lower than that. I would love to see Blaine start a game for the Tigers this year. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know what would allow that to happen, but that would make me so happy. You know, we talked about keeping the FU in fun for the season. Having Blaine start a game at Comerica, that would keep the FU in fun for me.
That would be fun. Yep. Right. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, he's stretched out. I mean, he's started for a month now.
Yeah, he's thrown in his last 3 starts, 5, 6, and 7 innings. So I'm assuming he's going to go for 8 this next turn.
Yeah, why not?
Got to. All right, let's move on to your beef of the week.
Beef of the week. I was driving down the road the other day. I was following another car as that's how roads work. Anyway, roads work. So somebody, I hadn't seen this in a long time. The passenger side window, and I see stuff just being thrown out the window.
Just straight up littering.
Just straight up littering. And I'm thinking about that. I haven't seen a straight up littering in a long time.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time. Who does that anymore? Stop littering. And then you see, of course, these work crews, like the jail guys or whatever, and they're picking up.
I think they call them garbage. The chain gang. Is that a thing?
Yeah, they're not on an actual chain. Maybe a virtual chain. And you know, I just thought it's kind of a crummy job. You're picking up some soggy garbage alongside the road. And we've documented from your previous things I saw alongside the road while running. People are littering. They're throwing their Fireball whiskey bottles. Don't litter, people. Keep America beautiful. I would never think to just randomly throw something out of my car window, except if it's maybe like an apple peel banana peel or apple core.
Yeah, if it's biodegradable, it's fine.
I feel like that's fine, especially because I grew up in the country. And, you know, that kind of stuff I'd throw out the window.
Yeah, fecal matter is actually good to throw out the window because it fertilizes the where you're throwing it.
I really wasn't going there, Jordan, but
we're
maybe.
There now.
Is there a story there?
No.
Anyway, so that's my beef of the week. Litterers, stop littering. Why would somebody even do this? It's bad. Don't litter.
It is bad.
That's it.
So I have a beef of the week. Maybe next week we can swap. I'll do a beef of the week and you can either make up a game or see something on the side of the road while you're running.
That would require running. It would be short. I better find something and then run past it. So I need to plan it out.
Oh, speaking of, so I have a name that tiger for you, but I have to say, I want to say maybe Wednesday afternoon I was running and I actually passed a herd, a flock of wild turkeys on the side of the road. And I managed to go by them without becoming completely and uncontrollably irate. So I was pretty proud of myself.
Were they scratching at somebody's wood chips?
No.
Stay out of my wood chips.
They were just minding their own business because they're turkeys.
Just today, they were walking underneath my deck steps. I go out there. I'm like, look, they're right here. There's turkeys. Get out.
You need a dog.
No.
Or to act like a dog.
If you
do that, I'd like to see the video.
No dogs.
Okay, let's move on. This game is called Name That Tiger. I will read Eric. I have 7 clues for a tiger, past, present.
I got it like 3 last time. 3 clues last time. 2 clues. Also, I was feeling strong.
Also, we got a lot of good feedback about fire takes from below the line. I will bring that one back. Don't worry.
Good, got
a late start on planning the show this week. So this is going to a Tigers Wikipedia page and copy and pasting is much easier.
This is improv, people. Okay.
Okay. The first clue, I was born February 27th, 1977 in Texarkana, Texas.
Oh, I know who it is. Texarkana, Texas. Should I say?
Sure.
Craig Monroe.
Oh, gosh darn it.
Destroyed in one.
Wow.
Dude, the Texarkana, Texas, just boom. I knew it right away. Craig Monroe.
You want to hear the other clues? Because they're really good. I have played for 5 teams, including parts of 5 seasons for the Tigers. My cousin is former NFL defensive back Nathan Vasher. Bet you didn't know that. That's one I should have led off with.
You should have led with that one. I wouldn't have known.
When the Tigers traded me, they received Clay Rapata in return.
Ooh, I remember Clay, the submariner.
Yeah, lefty. I led the Tigers in home runs in the famous 2006 season when they went to the World Series. My mother's name was Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, I would have known that for sure.
And I currently work as a broadcaster and am known for occasionally having a hard time actually spitting out what I'm trying to say. Paraphrasing Wikipedia there.
My favorite when he was the clip where he's trying to say trickles down and he gets stuck in as trinkles. It trinkle, hard to get out there. Trinkle, and he said it like 5, he could not get trickles. It was trinkles.
I do love Simo though. You know, people will complain about him being somebody who's always willing to defend the Tigers. That's true. He never has a bad word to say about them, but that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. And when I met him down in Bradenton, he was very concerned with other people spotting him, which I'm not sure that he needed to have been.
Thanks for the game. Good game. Even though I dominated it.
You certainly did. All right, let's move on to Twitter questions.
Super.
This is how the listeners, you, interact with us. If you have, Eric usually tweets out on Sunday, Monday, you know, sometime in the afternoon. Hey, do you have any questions for us to talk about? You can tweet me at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric. And the show is at Podcastianos. So here are the questions we got for this week. Anthony Troia, the better of the Troia brothers, asked, is it bad that I'm enjoying watching the season more than others in recent past because I don't care if they win or lose?
I think it's fine. It does take the sting out of losses, doesn't it? You feel like you have a little less invested as far as the losses go. And wins still make you feel good.
I would agree with that. It's good for... watching development, I guess. Like if Jamer has a bad game, like it's not the end of the world. You can just see how he's coming along over the course of the season. I feel like it lends itself more for seeing the forest for the trees as opposed to having to get yourself super worked up about every individual game. You can more see the trajectory as opposed to as opposed to the individual variation. Yeah. And I feel like we've discussed this before, but I like things in sports outside of just wins and losses. Like I enjoy, yep. I don't know. We've had this discussion before. Our buddy Jacob Skronik says, favorite baseball legends / myths. Mine is that my buddy Brady is the Pedro Alvarez whisperer. I believe they're from Virginia, so they were at Camden Yards this past weekend. 6 home runs in 3 games attended for Pedro Alvarez, which is eerie. And I mean, maybe something you need to get checked out.
I don't like what was the question? Legends or I don't know if this is really related, but one of my favorite clips is when the announcers called Matt Tuiasosopo's first home run. Are you familiar with that clip at all?
I don't think so.
So the announcers in the booth, the color guy predicted that this was going to be his first career home run and on what count and where it was going to go. And as the at bat progressed, it became more and more likely. And sure enough, it came more and more in line with the prediction. And then sure enough, he hit the home run out. So that's one of my favorite, like luck myth, cliche legends is that clip. Just look it up. It's fun.
Yeah. So I guess I would maybe even throw superstitions in this. I really enjoy the don't step on the foul line thing. I don't know why, but I find something very fascinating about that one. And
I do it for practical reasons. You don't want to smudge the chalk.
Yeah.
Keep it nice.
You want to keep it.
Don't litter.
Keep it tight. And like you were talking about with the announcer predicting during the Manchester Derby on, I don't know, just a couple weeks ago, which United won, by the way. Arlo White, the NBCSN announcer,
he was very good, by the way.
He is excellent. But the first corner that City took, he said something about how Vince and Company loves to, you know, take corners or, well, you know, be in the mixer for the corners against United because he always scores. Sure enough, he goes up, bang, header. And then I want to say that they scored off another set piece that he also, you know, mentioned that this is something that happens.
He's very good, Arlo White.
Like, shut up, Arlo. Stop talking. If you're gonna predict something, predict something for us.
Let me tell you something. One of the best things about watching soccer is how much broader and more elegant the vocabulary are of the English announcers. It is a pure joy to listen to them. Maybe I'm just not used to it, but just the eloquence that they feature and the diversity of their language is so much better. It's so good.
It actually reminds me of us.
Eloquent and verbose and stuff.
Lynn would make a good English
Premier
League commentator. At Breslin Birds asked, if Miggy has to go on the DL, who is the best replacement for him and why is it Jim Adusi?
Juicy Adusi. Juicy's never a bad choice. I like Jim Adusi. He may not be that good, but he's fine.
Here's the thing. I'm not sure that he's good, but I'm convinced that he's not bad. I've seen enough from him to declare that this isn't a bad ball player. I don't know how good he is, but he's
dude adequate. Can hit. Yeah.
No.
That's an interesting question though. If he did, maybe it would be a Ducey. You need somebody to play first base. I mean, really. I don't think Kristen Stewart can.
Who's the big dude that was playing first base all spring for them?
Chad Huffman.
That's not what I'm thinking about.
Chad Huffman.
It's Edwin Espinal.
Oh yeah.
He's not on the 40 man, so we'd have to make a move there. But dude is raking down at Toledo, I believe. Yeah. I think you can mix and match. Use Nico. Use Hicks.
Hicks. Yeah.
The usual.
You could call up what's the huge catcher and then put Hicks at first.
Grayson Griner?
Yeah, thank you.
That's like 4 Grayson Griner references in 2 shows. For somebody who's never even come close to sniffing the big leagues, he gets a lot of mentions.
We talk about all these people that nobody cares about.
Adam Langworthy says, Daniel Norris, ? Yeah, we got into him quite a bit earlier.
Maybe.
No, he's not referring to that Daniel Norris should play first base. 2 totally separate questions. Okay. Michael Litzner, just at Litzner. Still waiting for Leonis Martin to drop off. Is he for real or no? So Is he for
He's
reals?
Got four bombs. No, I don't know. He's outperformed my expectations. I looked at his numbers when we got him. I'm like, why did we get this turd? But he's good. He's been solid.
Yeah.
He's batting 274, slugging. His OPS is 821.
I saw someone tweet this, and once again, I probably should have taken notes so I could have given them credit. But he is what we assumed Anthony Ghost would be when we traded for him. At least has been so far. I like him. Anybody that could possibly be of value at the trade deadline, it's good to have them on board. I mean, he's not a long-term solution. But if we could flip him for a double A third baseman or something, at the deadline, by all means. Okay. Bryce Salerno at BD Salerno. I'm assuming this one's for you. Are you happy that Joe Jimenez is continuing the Phil Koch tradition of pointing at every fly ball?
I don't think I did not notice the points. I'm happy with that. Point at the ball. Help your defenders. The ball's right there. You might as well point at it. Help them out.
Yeah, I was a pointer when I pitched. I didn't.
Is it just reflexive? Like you?
It kind of is. Yeah, I was more of a ground ball pitcher. But anytime that ball was in the air, you got to let them know where it's at.
Yeah, help the team. Yeah, it's just good practice.
Yeah, I will say, in 4 years of college baseball, I caught one pop-up for myself.
You just got to get out of the way.
Yeah, I'm getting out of the way. That's someone else's problem.
Middle infielders take it.
Unstable Genius Melissa, that's the name, at SCGR Mom. How would you fix Daniel Norris? You kind of came up with a plan earlier. I think that's what I would implement.
Yeah, I was a little tongue-in-cheek. We've talked about it. I mean, there's two divergent ways. You just run him out there in all different situations until he gets over handling. He can just handle anything. Or you give him a fixed spot and you say, hey, this is it. But I don't know. There's no fixing him. I mean, he is what he is. He just needs to pitch more.
I think the biggest thing for him right now is how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? The first thing for him right now is he has to get healthy. Then he needs to get his mechanics fine tuned. He needs to, getting healthy should bring back a lot of the velocity and a lot of the snap to some of his pitches. And at that point, everything needs to be repeatable. You need to be, delivery needs to be the same every single time, which is something that I don't know if he'll ever get to the point of, but he needs to get closer to that.
I think we can safely back off the excitement train a little bit. I mean, he's not the kind of elite prospect that maybe we're hoping for. We hope he develops and blossoms into something spectacular, but he may just need some time, and we need to maybe adjust expectations on Daniel Norris.
Yeah, it's far more likely that he is a serviceable starting pitcher than that he's ever an ace.
Correct.
Which, to be fair, if you're looking at prospects – outside of the, one, two, three in all of baseball, there is a much better chance that they are a serviceable big leaguer than that they're a superstar. Like, there are few superstars in baseball. Just the way things work. Jeremy Troya, the better of the Troya brothers, says, do you guys believe, as I do, that the Tigers need an organization-wide, in air quotes, way of playing like Shutter, the Cards do, like focus on working counts, taking the extra base, playing sound defense, etc. I think with all of this new blood in the organization, it's absolutely essential.
There was some talk about this, I feel like, 2 years ago, kind of when Avila took the reins, like the first Avila's first year. Oh yeah, we're going to implement, the Tigers way. I don't think we've heard anything about that since, have we?
See, here's the thing. All of these things aren't the Cardinals way or the Tigers way. These are just plain baseball smart. Baseball, like, they're just ways. Normal baseball things. I don't necessarily think you need a brand of baseball. You don't have to brand yourself like the, Punto and the Piranhas, and, stuff like that. Just play the baseball intelligently, fundamentally, progressively. Right. Like, that is what I want to see from the team. And I think that is something that you can implement all the way down. but it just feels like something you shouldn't have to ask them to do. It's just something that they should have learned and implemented at some point in their baseball development.
Right. There's probably not a lot of difference than a good SEC college coach is going to be teaching these guys, right?
I mean,
these
guys are
Right. Now, if you implemented something like the 3-3-3, like we talked about, where you have three pitchers going three inning, I mean, then you would need an organizational wide system to say, okay, our pitchers are going to focus on three innings, that kind of thing. But otherwise, it's like good baseball things to, right?
It's not like soccer where, you know, you can set up the team in different ways so that, you know, and play in different styles. Like baseball, it's like, especially defensively, like it's all just baseball. Like there's not a whole lot you can do to, you know, I guess.
I mean, if you shift a lot, you could coach your guys, coach your third baseman. Like all our third basemen are going to be able to play short right field.
Yeah. I mean, okay. that seems fair, but I mean, on the whole, I mean,
but there's not that many things like that though.
No, really. Pitching philosophy would be the biggest thing. And even still, you can't mold, you know, breaking ball guys into be fastball changeup guys. Like you need some sort of variation there. Okay, two more. At Nicholas Haller asks us, who would help us compete the most right now in the farm system?
You know, I thought about this a little bit. Like, we're going to need to call up some arms. There is a gap in our system between kind of some of our quality big leaguers that we have right now, you know, guys like Jimenez, and the guys who are, I'll say, Burroughs, Manning, Fido, who am I leaving out?
Franklin Perez.
Funkhauser. Funkhauser. Those guys are solid and good and have a lot of potential, but they're in single A, right? What double or triple A arms are you excited to call up?
I think
you can't say Blaine.
I think
Blaine's 31.
I think Bo is at Erie, but other than that, you're right. Bo Burroughs.
Oh, Bo Burroughs. Yeah.
There isn't much down there. I mean, if we're being honest, Carpenter is probably the
Carpenter's bad.
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously that's why we're having this discussion. Right. I mean, he's probably the top potential guy. I mean, I also loved Johnny Barbato when we saw it eat it. Like there just isn't a whole lot down in Toledo that can help us right now.
We've gone this whole show without saying Verhagen's name, but he passed through waivers. He'll be back up at some point.
Yeah. Well, he's off the. I mean, they'll have to make a move
off
again.
The 40, man.
I mean, that's.
But who else? I mean, was the kid Castro? I mean, him.
Maybe. I mean, Garcia would have been the obvious choice if he hadn't.
Brian Garcia.
Yeah, but I mean, he had TJ, Tommy John. So he's out for the year. I mean. Stewart and Gerbs. I mean, they're going to be up at some point this year again and for the first time.
Yeah. Lugo, the aforementioned Lugo.
Yeah, he'll probably get run. I would assume he's only an injury away from one of the middle infielders. Yeah. We're easing towards having a stockpile of talent is too much. Some options at Toledo or, you know, the upper levels of the minors, but we are not quite there yet. All right. Yeah. Last one is from Banana Nut Brad. I'm assuming his name is Brad. Other than Miguel Cabrera, which players on
Thanks.
The... Yeah, I'm Thank, real clever.
Sherlock.
other than Miguel Cabrera, which players on the active roster, in brackets, if any, will be on the will be with the team for opening day in 2020 or 2021?
I don't think Fulmer is going to get traded, so I'm going to say Fulmer.
I'll go Fulmer and Boyd.
Boyd. I could see a guy like Joe Jimenez being around.
Hopefully, yeah.
I could see. Well, it depends if they extend Nick, and I think there's a decent chance they extend Nick.
Yeah, I actually left Nick off of the list this week because I want to have a larger Nick conversation at some point.
Sure.
Because I feel like we're finally to the point where we see, like, this is what he is. He's probably going to develop maybe a little bit more, but he's at this point mostly of a complete package. baggage. Like he's finalized.
The question with Nick, the question with Nick has more to do with what the market, the free agent market is like. If we have another free agent market like we had last year, you could see Nick get wanting to get locked up.
Yeah.
But if the free agent market rebounds and some guys are getting more stupid money again, probably Nick won't be around.
Well, you have Machado and Bryce Harper coming into the class this year, right, which could skew things. But, I mean, there was so much uniformity with baseball owners this winter as far as not giving out the crazy contracts. You have to assume they're not going to abandon that after 1 year. Obviously, they're going to throw all the money they have out the window for those two guys. But beyond that, I could see, you know, a lot of the same.
But I mean, other guys, McCann and maybe Dixon.
Probably Jamer.
Oh yeah, Candelario.
Yeah,
I think he'd be around.
Yeah.
But yeah, not a ton of guys. Yeah.
It's gonna be exciting. There are things to look forward to. Yeah. And there's not too awfully many players on the 25 man that can't play themselves into being a part of the future plans if they, you know, really make it happen. In my opinion.
Sure.
Yeah.
How about Victor Reyes?
I guarantee you he is not part of the 25 man on opening day. Yeah. Did you see the base running error today? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I saw the replay and I think it's on Victor. I mean, a part of me wants I'm prejudiced against him because I do like Dave Clark, but I do lean to like he stopped paying attention to Dave Clark and had kind of made up his mind, and then he must have heard him or something is like get back, and then it was too late.
Yeah,
this is a double clutch and then you're toast.
Yeah, not a good baseball player. I mean, much more evidence than just that. But man, he looks good in batting practice. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4, facebook.com/Podcastianos. And we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to this show on. And to be fair, if you leave us a review on the aforementioned whatever platform you're listening to the show on, we're probably not going to know, but you'll have that satisfaction in your heart.
Yeah. You know, I'm kind of looking for a subscribe for the old time's sake here one of these times.
I'll mix it in one out of every five subscribes.
I appreciate that. Are we in a position to announce guests? We're working on guests coming up. So if you're sick of us, I don't know why you would be.
But are there guests plural? I've been made aware of one guest. Is there multiple? Oh,
maybe. There's always the chance.
Good times. Right. Good times. Eric, don't anything else to say to the people before we get out here for the week?
Don't litter. That's it.
That's certainly fair. And with that, we will catch you guys next week. And eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.